Welcome to the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, where we pop the champagne to celebrate the unexplored joys and endless adventures that await us in the midlife. Flipping the script on what it means to hit those fabulous 40s, 50s and beyond. Because here, we don't believe in midlife crises, only midlife revolutions. Reminding you that the only thing we're letting go of at midlife is the notion that it's all downhill from here. Nope, we're here to climb higher, dream bigger, and laugh louder. Each week, we'll dive into the myths, share the truths, and unlock the secrets to making the midlife years your best years yet. From rediscovering lost passions to embarking on new adventures, we're covering it all. Expect candid conversations with inspiring guests who've turned their midlife years into their most dynamic chapter yet. We're talking to everyone from entrepreneurs who've launched successful startups, from their kitchen tables to adventurers who decided age is just a number when it comes to climbing mountains or sailing the seas. So if you've ever found yourself pondering, is this all there is? Or you're just eager to embrace the richness of midlife with both arms wide open, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's show the world that life doesn't just begin at 20, it begins again at midlife. And remember, in the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, the only rule is to live confidently, love unconditionally, and laugh uncontrollably. Let's get started. So hello and welcome to today's episode of Life Begins at Midlife. I've got Sophie Garner here in the studio today, and she's going to be telling us a little bit about her midlife journey. Welcome, Sophie. Lovely to have you.
Hello, Jackie. And we've had a lovely chat, haven't we, before this? We almost thought we weren't going to actually make the podcast because we've just been chatting about midlife and all the trials and tribulations.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's been some interesting stories we've shared already. Hey, we should have just pressed record from the time we started speaking, and we would have had episodes to share with everybody.
Can't get that moment back now, can we? It's gone.
Absolutely. Well, we'll remember it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so lovely to have you. And what is it? I know you mentioned briefly that, you know, to me that you've been teaching choir, and so what is tell us a bit about who is Sophie, and then you can lead into your menopause. We'll just call it, we've been talking about menopause, but your midlife journey. You can leave menopause out of it.
who is Sophie? I always, when people say to me, what do you do, and I think this is so important, people need to sum it up quickly, because when we're in a conversation, we want to, especially if you're at a networking event or a party, you know, it's so funny, isn't it? The first thing somebody says is, what do you do? They never ask, where do you live? How many kids have you got? How are you feeling? It's just straight in. What do you do? Like it's what makes your life. I mean, contradictively, what I do is my life. So I'm sort of almost like reversing that. I change lives through singing. And that's what I say to people, because I really do, because it's not just choirs. I work with brain injury. I work with dementia, and dementia can come on very early. I mean, I know some people where it's come on in midlife. And I also work with children that have been abused. I work with self-harming teenagers, and I do corporate work. So as an entrepreneur, I'll go into, you know, high-end businesses and go in and speak or use singing as a way of kind of breaking down the hierarchy in a company so that it's a level playing field. So it's all based around mental health and confidence. And in my choirs particularly, I have a lot of women that I would say are between 40 and 70, and they all come with their different reasons. But when they arrive, the phone goes off, and they are there for that hour and a half, not as a mother, a daughter, a partner, a teacher, whatever. They're there for themselves, just for the joy of singing. And it's incredible, because they're literally in the moment, not multitasking, looking at a phone and worrying about something. So it's beautiful, because we don't do that now. I think we're all in a world where the phone is stuck to our bloody hand, but we're also reading something and talking to somebody else. And the brain can't cope with that. And it's been proven that we as humans, multitasking is not conducive. We cannot do 3 to 4 different things because the brain shuts down. So we don't learn that way. It's about doing one thing, and then you learn and you enjoy it more when you're doing the one thing. So I love it, because if somebody's phone goes off, everybody looks at that person. And they wouldn't do in a normal situation, but it's like, the rules are the phone goes off. You know, unless somebody's got an ill parent at home, that, you know, that's the rule, the phone stays on. So I love it. Singing is about so much more than just, you know, jazz hands. There's so many health benefits to singing. And I did my master's degree in singing and well-being. So I really underpin everything I do with the research that I've done, you know, and I talk about the benefits, and some of them are really shocking, you know, to some people. Wow, does singing really do that? Yep, that's why you feel like this and this when you leave.
Absolutely. Well, I find, you know, I often say to my partner, because he teases me if I'm singing or if I'm humming or I'm, you know, put some music on, sometimes he says, well, you know, are you feeling all right? And I'm like, well, you need to be worried if I'm not singing,
yeah,
or if I'm not playing music, that's when you need to worry. Because I know that when I stop playing music, I stop playing the piano, I stop listening to music, then I know for myself, I need to think, what's going on? There's something not right here.
Because absolutely,
you know, that's my benchmark.
And because you've lost the joy for it. So do you, how often do you play piano?
Not as much at the moment as I do, but yeah, it's actually behind me here.
Oh, my goodness. But, and do you accompany yourself and sing? Will you sit there and do a Joni Mitchell and literally, you know, will you sing? And
if there's nobody else in the house, then maybe I would. But if I'm on my own or if there's other people in the house, then no, I won't be singing. I'll be singing in my head, but I'll be playing the piano. And but I enjoy it, and I like drumming as well as in djembe drumming and shamanic drumming and that sort of thing. So.
Are you part of a, do you go to a drumming group?
Yes, when I've got time on a Sunday afternoon, I do go to that as well.
So. Do you know, it's so, I'm in the middle of my training to be a sound healer, and I bought my first sound bowl, beautiful Tibetan bowl with all different metals, when I was 20, and I've owned this bowl, and I knew it would be my calling, Jackie. And I qualify in September, and I've spent an absolute fortune on instruments. I've got my shamanic drum, which, oh, when you beat it, it's like boom boom, and you really feel it in your heart.
Absolutely.
And you just go into like a trance state. And I've got my crystal bowls, and I've got my tuning forks, and there's something really visceral, isn't there, about the drum. And it feels very feminine when, I don't know if your drum circle's a mixture of men and women, but there's something quite tribal. And there's a book about the early shamanic women that drummed. Yeah. And it's so interesting finding out about that. But it almost becomes hallucinogenic, because you get into this rhythm and you lose yourself, don't you? It's just, I love it. I can't wait to start running my sound baths.
And the group that I'm part of, we end up having a good laugh and a good, you know, chat and that in between, you know, all the chants and the things that we do. But it's my mental health. It's, you know, it's cheaper than therapy.
Absolutely. And again, you know, you're in the moment. I mean, goodness, I can't imagine anyone being on their phone in the middle of a drum session. It would be, what are you doing with that phone on? I think I'd go mad if somebody did that, because it would be so disrespectful.
You don't see a phone. The phones are in the handbags, in the bags. They're on silent. You don't.
It's brilliant. And it's that collective, isn't it? You know, a drum circle.
The energy is just amazing.
Yeah,
they've got the gongs as well, where they normally do stuff.
Lovely.
So the drumming then vibrates off, even though they're not playing the gongs, it all vibrates off that. And it's just an absolutely amazing experience to be part of. So it's,
sound is so powerful, you know, and we all vibrate at certain hertz. And so everything has a vibration and a frequency. So to have the addition of the gongs, which are so expensive, I really want a gong, but, you know, a really good one's about $2,500.
Yeah. Oh, well, Rome wasn't built in a day, eh?
No. Neither were gongs.
No, but yeah, you're on your way with all your crystal bowls and your, you know, your books and all that. So you can only build from there, and
that'll be absolutely
amazing. Yeah. But yeah, I do know that, you know, the if you are feeling low and you put some music on, or you know, you take your drum out or anything like that, it definitely does help lift your mood. It might not make you feel like, you know, you want to skip and dance and go and sing in the rain sort of thing, but it does lift you up that little bit more to think, you know, okay, well, I can do this. And then you can, you know, build onto that.
Absolutely. For instance, one of the loveliest things I found out was that when you sing as a collective in a choir, your heart rates match up. Everybody's heart rates match up. And I mean, if that isn't love.
My goodness.
Isn't that beautiful? Because you're all breathing at the same time and your heart rate will match up depending on the song that you're singing. And, you know, what we listen to has an effect on us. For instance, there's been some research behind men that listen to fast music in their car and how it increases the risk of accidents, and our heart rate goes up. So our blood pressure has the risk of, you know, increasing. And slower music, of course, is going to settle and calm us, and our breathing is less anxious. So music is very, very powerful.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I know I can tell what mood I'm in by the choice of music that I'm choosing to listen to, because I like a wide, you know, genre of music.
It's not
just, you know, some people say, oh, I only like X, and I'm like,
that's really boring. You're missing out.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's just so much. I mean, there's probably about, you know, maybe two things I might not really enjoy, but you know, most of it, it's like, oh, bring it on, you know. It's just, I really enjoy
it's
it.
It's good and bad in so many different styles. And you know, you make a really valid point about we listen to certain things for certain occasions. You know, when you go in restaurants, if you go into a high class restaurant, it's normally jazz playing. You know, if you go into a bar, it's going to be something a bit more funky. You know, that there's the old thing about lift music. You know, it's instrumental. And so their music is used for different situations to cause an effect. You know, you wouldn't have, like, I love drum and bass, but you wouldn't have hardcore drum and bass in, say, Claridge's or the Savoy for afternoon tea.
No. But then again, you know, if you're going into a grocery shop, for example, different times of the day, they'll play different types of music because they're wanting, you know, if you're going in there sort of just after work, they're wanting you to have that buzz. So you grab all the things off the shelf quickly. Absolutely. And dart out the door.
Yes.
Going on Sunday morning and you're wanting to have more of a leisurely shop, they'll play a bit more leisurely music so that keeps you in the shop longer. Absolutely. It's all just, and we don't even
psychology.
Yeah.
It's all subliminal and it's happening subconsciously. It's very powerful. But then this is really unusual. I've looked at research that shows that sometimes when we're feeling down, we might listen to really emotional, melancholy songs as opposed to uplifting, you know. But that can be uplifting. So listening to slow songs when you're depressed won't necessarily make you more depressed. So it's a black art. It's alchemy music. I think, you know, there are certain songs where it will get to a certain point. So, for instance, if we take Vaughan Williams' Lark Ascending, there are certain points in that where it's like, and people will feel a certain way at a certain point in the song. What's making that happen? Is it the strings? Is it the chord changes? It's this dark art. And I find that fascinating. How music isn't something we just listen to. We feel music. Yeah. And I think there's just something so beautiful.
Tell a story without us hearing any words.
Yeah.
Just by listening to how it's been.
Absolutely. An instrumental, a bit of classical music.
You can feel what the composer is wanting to tell you by just experiencing the feel of that music. And there's so many times where I would much rather put music on than turn on the television. Because I'd much rather listen to some music and just be in the moment than be force-fed some not call rubbish on the telly, but not that everything's rubbish, but
you know, there's things there's on so there much that, crap.
Yeah, it's not worth watching, and I'd much rather turn off that and put some music on and just potter around and enjoy the music.
Absolutely. And again, that going back to that in the moment, when we look at, I mean, there's a TV behind this laptop that I'm on with you now. The TV actually hardly ever goes on because I don't want to succumb to the box on the wall, because a lot of the time I think we tend to lose ourselves because we don't want to be within ourselves. So we lose ourselves to the box on the wall, whereas music allows you to think creatively, you're in the moment. Yeah, it's just, there's something very flowing and freeing about listening to music.
It allows you to go within, I think, music. It allows you to feel.
Absolutely.
Whereas the box pulls you out and it sort of like attaches you to like this invisible cord into whatever's going on in there.
100%. Yeah.
You're not thinking about what's going on. You're just being fed something. 100%. Whereas if you've got music playing on, you're still being fed the music, but you are interpreting it. And you and I will probably be listening to the same piece of music at the same moment, but you'll feel differently, potentially, to what I will feel, depending on what my
absolutely
mood is,
and totally. And isn't that amazing? Whereas telly manipulates, it's deliberately created to get a reaction, whether it's an advert or, you know, something that wants to make you get worried, also I must do this. Whereas, as you just said, 100%. You and I and 10 other people could listen to music. Some people might be lifted by it. Some people might be depressed by it. Some people might be annoyed by it. And that's the beauty. It's so subjective. Absolutely. And we're thinking creatively. And this is something I feel really passionate about, is the fact that we are all creative. Creativity is in so many different things. And that's what my third book was about, reawakening the inner creative. I wrote it for midlife women who feel like they've lost that inner child that was free and created and jumped in muddy puddles and, dare I say, something I do, trolleying. I will get on a trolley in the supermarket and do a run, and then I haven't been told off yet, Jackie, and I call it trolleying. And I even wrote a bit about it in my book, Go and Do Some Trolleying.
There you go. We'll have to get t-shirts made.
Trolleying. I know. I really would love it if I was in the supermarket and another woman was doing it, because we could have a race.
Yeah. You know, those flash mobs, I've often thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun to be able to just all of a sudden, there's a groovy piece of music on, just all of a sudden start doing a bit of a flash mob in the middle of the shop.
Oh, we are planning that. I'm not going to say the date, because in case anybody in the area that we're going to do it is listening, but we're planning a flash mob in July in a town centre, and all my choir members will pretend to be shopping in little huddles, and then all of a sudden we're all going to just gather. I cannot wait.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I know, I've often thought, you know, you're walking in the shops and there's this nice piece of music and you find your body starts moving to the music.
Yes.
Oh, I could just start picking out into a dance.
Do you know what though, Jackie? If you did it, and this ties into, there was a, this has been done quite a few times. Did you ever see the video of the man that starts laughing on the tube?
No.
And then everyone in the tube starts laughing. He's got this brilliant laugh. And the person next to him starts laughing because he's laughing. The whole carriage starts laughing, and it just becomes infectious. And I've also seen it. There's a video of this lovely little old lady. I don't know where it is, but there's a DJ, and she starts getting really groovy. And then all these people in their 20s and 30s start dancing with this little old lady. All of a sudden, there's a massive crowd, and it becomes like a club. And everybody, and I was just like, that little lady started that. It's absolutely infectious. Yeah. You know, a bit like when you're at a party and it's like, who's going to be first up on the dance floor? Oh, the classic.
No one wants to dance now.
No, I know. And I've been on so many weddings where I'm on stage with my band. I mean, I've literally done nearly like 3,000 weddings in my entire career of 35 years. And I'm looking, and we're all on stage thinking, for God's sake, somebody get on the dance floor. We're playing to nobody. And then someone will get up and all of a sudden they're like ants towards, you know, a cake. They all just literally come on the floor because they're waiting for that person
to
begin.
You almost need to hire someone who's the dance star.
Yeah, they just come with the band and they just go on the floor and start.
I'm the dance starter.
Not the fire starter, the dance starter.
Absolutely.
Brilliant, I love that.
So, brilliant. Yeah, going back to the being creative side of things, I know I used to run scrapbooking classes for adults way back when scrapbooking was trendy.
Brilliant.
And so many people would come to me and say, oh, I'm not creative. And I'd be like, come on, just take some paper, take some photographs, and let's just see. By the end of those 3 hours, they were like, wow, I've done this. I said, well, there you go. It just shows you. It's deep down inside. You've just put so many layers of your shoulds, coulds, woulds, and beliefs that everybody else has told you all your life.
Yep.
Just let that out. And just, there are no rules. Just do what feels right.
Absolutely. I love scrapbooking. I've got a craft room. It's my office stroke craft room. And I've got boxes of pens, stickers, decoupage, sheet music that I will use, and old book pages that I will tear, stamps. And you're smiling because I know you get it. And I love it. So for me, aside from singing, that's how I lose myself. I will go and I'll create a card for somebody, or I'll make a bookmark and put lace on it and a ribbon through it. And I love it because I'm in the moment and I don't know what's going to happen on that page. I'll put some music on and it just flows, and I'll be in there hours. And then, you know, my partner Paul will go, you know, we need to eat. And it'll be, how long have I been doing this? And it's lovely. And we are all creatives, because when we get up and decide what we're going to wear in the morning, that's a creative decision. When we go and cook something, but we decide to add in something that we haven't done before, a herb, that's being creative. Mm-hmm. Going to the supermarket and deciding, oh, actually, I'm going to do that with that tonight. That's being creative. Decorating your living room and deciding on the cushions or the candles is being creative. And I think people are so hung up, they think it's dancing, singing, art, sewing, crafting, cooking. It's not. It's allowing you to be in the moment and going, I'm going to have a go at this. And creativity is about not knowing what's going to happen. That's the point. It's a new idea that you go, I'm going to put this down. I don't know where it's going to go. It doesn't matter what the result is, but I'm going to create something.
Absolutely. And just enjoy the process. That's the thing, and see what unfolds, and not have predetermined agenda that you know it has to look a certain way. It's like, oh, it doesn't have to.
No. And it's yours. And that's the other thing. It belongs to you. It's the virgin piece of artwork. Just like, so when I get, whether it's adults or my brain injury clients or teenagers that have been self-harming, when I get them to write a song, I go, this is your song. You're not doing a version of someone else's, so there is no right and wrong. It's your song. You've created it.
Absolutely.
Belongs to you, and there's so much power in that. I've written this song. It's mine, and I'm the first to sing it. So anyone else that does it, they're covering it. So bloody powerful, Jackie.
It's their gift to the world as well, to, you know, just their bit of energy they can share with the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. This is, as John Cleese once said, put a load of actors in the room and get them to play, and, you know, you'll see something like, you'll get results quickly. Just let them unfold and work together.
That's it. And that's where the greatest creativity comes. If you want problems resolved, you need to create the space for people to be able to think out the box.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't put them around a table. You know, gone are the days where it's, right, we're going to have a board meeting. I want you to come up with some ideas right now in the next hour and a half. That doesn't work. Mm. It might happen in the bath. Somebody once said everybody's had an idea in the shower. You know, or for me, it happens in the car. When I'm in the car, I get a lot of my ideas for songs or for things I want to write about. And in the middle of the night, I might wake up as well And it just happens when you least expect it. And I sometimes have to pull over and go, oh my God, I've got an idea for a new workshop. And I will either write it down or I'll have to speak it to my phone before it's gone and then carry on driving.
That's it. But it's because you're not forcing it. As soon as you sit down and say, something will come out of my brain right this minute, it's probably not going to be coming. Or if it does, it won't be the best piece of work that you've got to offer.
Exactly. Which is why so many writers will go, you know, it's taken me a year to write this novel, because they'll have days where it's like, you know, the waste paper bin, the old visual of the waste paper bin, just having screwed up paper. A writer's life can be really difficult. I don't write fiction. I've written journals and books for kids and for adults, but it must be really difficult to write something where you're literally creating everything, you know, fictional. Must be really hard.
Absolutely. Well, Sophie, it's been really lovely speaking to you today. I think you and I could probably carry on speaking for ages and ages. We'll have to get you back on again and we can talk a little bit more in depth about your creativity and music and all that.
Scrapbooking. You've got to do more scrapbooking, Jackie. Please get back to it.
It
did, as you say, go, and then loads of people are scrapbooking now. Gosh, if you go on Instagram, there are so many people scrapbooking. Yeah, and they're even offering packages. They're selling boxes of scrapbooking packages. Yeah, Jackie, get back to it.
I've still got a lot of stuff myself.
But good, get back to it. Creativity is alive and well in all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, been lovely having you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Speak to you again soon.
Lovely. Take care.
As we wrap up another episode here at Life Begins at Midlife, we want to take a moment to extend a heartfelt thank you to our sponsor, Jackie Bourne, for Purpose Unleashed. Jackie's commitment to empowering individuals on their journey of self-discovery and transformation truly aligns with the spirit of our show. Whether you're navigating the challenges of midlife, seeking clarity on your next steps, or simply looking to live a more fulfilled life, Purpose Unleashed offers the guidance, tools, and support you need to turn your aspirations into reality. For those of you feeling stuck or at a crossroads, remember, it's never too late to redefine your path and embrace the life you've always dreamed of. Visit Purpose Unleashed website to discover how you can start your transformative journey today. Let Jackie be your guide to a more vibrant, purpose-driven life. You can find this link to the website in the show notes below. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us. Remember, every day is a new opportunity to grow, to love, and to make a difference. Until next time, keep striving, keep dreaming, and keep listening.